Psalm 25, in verses 1 through 15. Whoa, those are long. Praise God. Would you read it with me, please? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed.
Let those be ashamed.
Let those be ashamed who what? Deal treacherously without a cause. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Now let me share a couple things with you, which is very important. One of the things that God desires, see, he desires to lead us. Do you know that he is the leader? One of the things that you and I must have is a desire to be led. We must have a desire to be led. It is very important that you and I have a desire to be led, to be guided. Listen what he said. He says, listen, in verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. That is a desire, isn't it? He says, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. He acknowledged him as his creator, his God, his teacher, and his leader. On you I will wait all the day. Some people have a hard time waiting on God. That's why things can't happen. Well, let's go on. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Now here's a desire of a man that wants to get close to God. He realizes that his righteousness is but filthy rags and he can't do it on his own. You know when you begin to struggle is when you're doing it on your own. In verse 11 or 12. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Wow. That's a powerful psalm. One of the things that's so important, he says, show me, teach me, and lead me. Like I shared in the beginning. You and I must have a desire to be led. That means that you and I must humble ourselves under authority to be led. We must have that desire that we want to be led because we know that we're walking in an area. Listen, we don't belong in this world. You and I are strangers in this world, even though we've lived here all our life. But this is only a temporary life. So let me share something. No one in this room has seen the whole world and all the things about it. You and I have not seen or understood all the ways of darkness. We've not stood all the ways of God. So you and I must be led. And but we first must have a desire to be led. Is everybody with me? If you don't have a desire to be led, you won't be. Because God does not force himself to lead you. He looks for the one that's willing to be desired to grab hold of. The Bible says grab hold of God. It's amazing in how we grab hold of God when we're in trouble or in need. But we need to grab hold of God all the time. That's a daily process, isn't it? Every day we must have a desire to be led. And every decision and everything that you and I are doing, we must have a desire to be led. You know what? Everything will go a lot better. You'll be a lot more happier. Go to Exodus 13. ought to name it a teaching is led or misled. Are you being led or misled? If you don't have a desire to be led, you're misled. Exodus 13 and verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to what? Lead the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from the people. From before the people. See, God has a desire to lead me and you. He's been doing it ever since creation. He's been leading. He led them. He gave them a sign to follow. Gave them a cloud. Now, let me share something with you. The cloud was a representation of his glory. And the fire was, of course, a representation of his presence, wasn't it? Both represent the same, don't we? Now, who do we have leading us? The Holy Spirit. Which is the representation of the glory and the fire of God, isn't it? So it's no different. In fact, when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room, what came upon them? Tongues of fire. Why? Because you and I were going to be led now by the Spirit of God. It's going to be different. We didn't need the fire to come out before us, although it'd be nice. I'd like to see it hang around here. I know we get a lot of souls saved. So the Lord is in the leading business. Because he is the mighty leader, Lord of hosts, captain, commander, chief, almighty God. He leads us, right? That's his character. God's character is a leader. God's bringing me and you up so that we can become leaders. He wants us to manifest that character. Remember, we talked about the fruits being manifested in us. Now he wants you and me to be able to lead. That's why he said, I am the way, truth, and life. He represented himself as a leader, isn't he? Go to Matthew 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 17, would you read it with me? From that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What was he saying? Follow me. He didn't go up to them and say, listen, believe me. He said, come on, follow me, right? What was he trying to do? Lead them. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Don't worry about this. There's something I'm going to make you a part of with an eternal treasure if you'll follow me. See, before they could drop everything, they had to have a desire to follow. God says, no man comes to me unless he's what? Drawn. So even before you can follow, you have to be drawn by the Lord, don't you? You know how many people reject to follow or reject the drawing of God? Many. Now, that's not just a one-time event. Because the drawing of the Lord is called being led. Being led. Let's go a little further. In verse 20, and they what? They immediately left their nets, and what did they do? They followed him. So understand that followed is a representation of being led. Everybody got it? What's the word believe mean? To follow. Because if you're not a follower, you're not a what? Believer. Go to Mark 8. You know, we must have the discernment to know whether we're being led or misled. It's very important. Many people who think they're being led are actually being misled. And there's a lot of areas that involve why people are being led or misled. And I'm going to touch a few of them tonight. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Or be what? Be led. But he said something. He says, first of all, you've got to deny yourself before you can even be led. In other words, you must have a desire to be led by God. You must have a desire to be led. If you don't have that desire, then you won't be led. You'll be misled. Let's go a little further. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will what? Will save it. So how many of you have a desire to be led? And if you don't, you better lift your hands up and ask God to forgive you. Psalm 23. Are we being led or misled? Start at verse 1. The Lord is my what? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he what? Leads me beside the still water. You know why he's got to lead you to beside the still water? Because it's calm. Sometimes God has to lead you so you can hear him. He's got to bring you to a place where you can hear. Even he said to Jeremiah, he said, listen, go to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my word. So sometimes circumstances are leading us that we don't even realize into a place where we can hear God. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the what? Still water. That's where you can get a drink. He what? Restores my soul and leads me in the paths of what? So he's always trying to lead me and you, isn't he? Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they shall what? Comfort me. He's always trying to lead me and you, no matter what. So you're either being led by God or misled, one or the other. A couple characteristics that need to be done here is we need to be led, we must be absolutely willing to surrender. So we must come into a place where there's absolute surrender and trust in God. They work hand in hand. You can't follow someone that you don't trust, do you? In fact, the Bible says, let the blind lead the blind. Let the dead bury the dead. And many of us were associated with blind individuals of the Spirit, and we didn't get anywhere because we were being misled. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Read verse 7 with me. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So we understand something that even the Lord had to lead. In other words, he had to lead me and you. He had to go somewhere, of course, in hell, to break the powers of darkness, right? So that he could lead us. Lead us where? Out of hell. Because where everyone was headed? To hell. So what did he do? He led those who were captive by the powers of darkness. He set them free by the bondages. From bondage. Is everybody with me? So it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What was that great gift? Salvation. That's right, freedom. Freedom. Would you turn to Romans 8, please? Now he who leads us is the cloud by day and the fire by night. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. So many people think that God's not with them. He's forsaken them. But his desire truly is to lead us. He's right there. The Holy Spirit is always there. Even when we blow it, when we repent, he's right there, always wanting to lead us. But it's very important that he's invited. If he's not invited in everything that you're doing, then he won't lead you because he's the mentor. He's the mentor. He's the one that's going to tell you what is and what isn't. What is a lie and what is truth? He's the one that's going to tell you whether you're pleasing God or you're not pleasing God. He's the one that's going to tell you dangers ahead. He's the one that's going to tell you walk this way. He's the one that's going to tell you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So he's always going to lead us to life, isn't he? Not death. So if you're led, you're being led to life. If you're misled, you're headed towards where? Death. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I don't know whether the Lord acknowledges you. I mean, you know, when you have children, I mean, you want to give your children everything, don't you? And God wants to give His children everything. But would you give your child something that is not willing to listen to you? Do you know what I'm saying? If he's not willing to be led by what you're explaining, same thing with directions and so forth, if he's not willing to be led, if the individual's not willing to be led, are you going to get certain things? No. Why? Because he knows that you're misled. And if you're misled, he knows that there's danger. Now, he never leaves us, but he lets you go. What happens is, he actually follows you. Hello? Not following you in the works that you're doing, but he's keeping an eye on you and following you and watching what you're doing. You know what he's waiting for? You need to bite the dust so he can rescue you. But some people just won't turn around and get rescued. Some people are going to bite the dust and go right to it. But see, first of all, you've got to have a desire to be led. Every one of us in this room must have a desire to be led in every area, no matter what it is. Every part of your life, you must have a desire to be led. In verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. There's a relationship. There's that relationship. Why? Because you're being led. You know, some people think God is some... I remember at one time I remember seeing a statue of Abraham Lincoln on this concrete statue. You know, kind of always reminding me of like God, you know. But he's not somebody trying to beat us. He's a loving God. He's a loving Father who's trying to lead us in a direction. Just like when he says he leads us beside still waters. Why? Because there's always something there to drink. There's always pleasure there. There's always something, a gift there. There's something there. He's always trying to get something to me and you. He's not trying to take something away. He's trying to get something to us. As you get closer to him, you're going to want to get rid of the things that he's been wanting you to get rid of anyway, that he's been wanting to take away. And you're willing to allow him to do it because you want to be led, not misled. Romans 14. Romans 14. And verses 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, we just said that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to lead us. He's trying to manifest the kingdom of God through us, isn't he? The kingdom of God will not be manifested through us unless we're willing to be led. But I'll tell you what will be manifested through us, the kingdom of darkness, if we're misled. When we are led, not only will the kingdom of darkness be manifested, but we will be walking in peace, joy, and righteousness. We'll be bearing good fruits in every good work. We'll be led because God is trying to expand his kingdom through us. Isn't that his purpose? To rescue, to expand his kingdom? So it's very important that we have that desire to be led. And we must have a willing desire to die to self so we can be led. You're going to hear a lot of death in this ministry. Because that's what it's about. Die. You want to live? Die. In Romans 16. Come on, Jesus' ultimate goal is to come and die, right? So that you and I can live. In Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now listen. What's he trying to do? He's saying, note those who are being misled. And note those who are being led. Let me share something with you, very important. It says, anyone who's causing division and offenses is being misled. That's the fruit of it. Somebody who's causing divisions right? And offenses is being misled. Because that sure isn't peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's misled. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 18, but their own what? Belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, we used to be out there when we were out there. I remember I was that way when I was out using and so forth, you know. Smooth talker. Trying to cover up. Deceiving. Yet I was the one that was deceived. Causing divisions and offenses. Causing hurts because of things I did. I was totally misled. Then I met the King of Kings. And I became led. Now, none of us here is perfect. We're going to make a mistake. But we're complete and perfect in Him. But I'll tell you what, if we're led, things are going to be a lot easier in our life, isn't it? You know, even sometimes when I'm driving down the road or something, especially if I'm cruising or whatever, I like praising and worshiping and whatever. I like driving by myself sometimes so I can just praise the Lord. The next thing He'll just say, and if I'm in a hurry and trying to get somewhere, He'll tell me, stay in this lane. And it sure doesn't look like it's going to pan out. And He'll say, stay there. Next thing I know, cars will start moving up. And I was like, keep going. The whole thing is, you got to pay attention to what He's saying. There's a difference between led and misled, isn't there? And remember, misled is always going to cause division. It's always going to cause offenses. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right there. In verse 9. Would you read it with me? 9 and 10. God is what? Faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the what? Same thing. And let me tell you something. If everybody in the body was led, we'd all know the same thing. There wouldn't be divisions. There wouldn't be denominations. There wouldn't be offenses if everybody was willing to be led. That you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let me tell you, the body of Christ would be cruising and smoothing. We'd be grabbing children that were lost, feeding those who were in need. I mean, the body of Christ would just be exalted for Jesus if everybody was being led. Go to James chapter 3. In verse 13, James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Let me tell you another thing that always happens when someone's misled. Confusion. They walk in confusion. Not only do they walk in confusion, but they cause confusion. Amen. When somebody is misled. Is everybody with me? Go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. When you're led, you know that this is not your home. You know that this is temporary. You know it when you're led. You're not caught up in all of this. Does everybody understand that? When you're led, your kingdom, your home, your place of living is not here. It's in heaven. When you're led. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. When you're led, you know his voice. When you're led, you know his voice. Let me tell you something. The most important thing as a believer is to know the voice of God. That is the number one important thing, is to know the voice of God. Because if you don't know the voice of God, you will be misled. That's why you must hang out with him. Because you're going to understand his character. And when he speaks, you know. Because he impresses in you what's what. And you'll be led. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we've heard this scripture over and over. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That means misled. Misled. In other words, taking heed to the voice of the stranger. How many of you all used to take heed to the voice of the stranger? You know, we're supposed to know the voice of the stranger. Do you know that? Not just not know the voice. We're supposed to know the voice of the stranger. As well as knowing the voice of the Lord. Because when you can't hear the voice of God, you better discern that that's the voice of the stranger. I just want to share a couple quick things that cause people to be misled. The first thing of misled is, number one, is the lack of prayer. People who do not pray will always be misled. That is the number one thing. The Bible in Matthew 7:7 says, Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. If you're not hitting it in the morning, first thing, if you're not doing warfare, if you're not in the battle, and you're making excuses that you got work to do and all this other stuff, you will be misled. Prayer is the number one most important thing. Not only personal prayer, but corporate prayer. Personal prayer is the number one important thing, and so is corporate. Did you ever notice that when we got together and began just to worship the Lord? I mean, you felt a refreshing. Things began to happen. Clarity came, didn't it? Let me tell you this. The devil loves to prevent people from coming corporately in prayer. Because if he can keep you away, then he can mislead you, even though you think you're being led. Corporate worship. He loves people to stay away from coming to worship services. Why? Because he can mislead them. He already misled them already. They're already misled in the beginning, aren't they? That's why fellowship is so important. Remember, Jesus said, Follow me. Isn't that fellowship? He said, Let me lead you. Isn't that fellowship? So you got to be careful. Because the devil always try to mislead you. So the first thing is lack of prayer, lack of fellowship in the Spirit. The second thing that misleads many individuals is fear. Fear. And I want to share this with you. Fear that's also fear is an emotion, you know that. I mean, it's a presence of evil. It's an evil spirit. But fear are associated with emotions. People get misled by emotions all the time. Well, this is what I feel like. You can't always be led by goosebumps. You can't always be led by feeling good. People get misled because they feel good. Well, I've been offered this job. It's good money. It must be. See, certain things, material things, will cause people to have an emotional feeling, won't it? And they can become misled. Fear associated with emotions can cause you to be misled. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power of love and a sound mind. Let me share with you. When you're associated with those emotions or that spirit of fear, the first thing that begins to happen, the power. You don't have power to overcome. Why? Because you're misled. What he's going to do is he's going to drain you, try to mislead you. The love of God seems to dwindle. When people are bound by fear, they like seize in that emotion. Some people are afraid of man, afraid of success, afraid of failure, afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of fear. The other thing does, it says, but God has given us a what? Sound mind. Sound mind, it means clarity. You can't be led without clarity. You'll always be misled. So the second thing is fear and associated emotions with it. Fear will always mislead you. The third thing, pride. Pride will always mislead you. A haughty spirit, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before all. Is that misled or led? Misled. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So pride will always cause you to be misled. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is lust. Lust will always mislead you. Proverbs 11, while we're here. Proverbs 11, and verses 3 through 6. The integrity of the upright will guard them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in a day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lust is a representation of an ungodly desire. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it just doesn't mean women. Many come in with, doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman or whatever, and they're loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, desires, ungodly desires. Those things will mislead an individual. So we have the first one of prayer, the second one of fear and associated emotions, the third one of pride, the fourth one of lust and ungodly desires. The fifth one is laziness. The Bible says no working, no eating. Matthew 25. There's a lot of things about laziness in the Word. Matthew 25. And verse 24, then he who had received the one talent, this was a servant, came and said, Lord, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25. And I was afraid. There goes that fear again, huh? And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and what? Lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And for everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That means because they've been misled. You notice that when you get misled, you begin to lose everything? It's like, man, what's up? First thing you lose is your joy, your peace. Misled. The sixth thing, those who cannot wait on the Lord will be misled. If you can't wait on the Lord, you will always be misled. Go to Psalm 40. Would you read verses 1 through 3 with me? Is everybody ready? You there? I waited patiently for the Lord. The word patiently means endure. I waited, I endured. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my what? Some of y'all are waiting on God right now for something, aren't you? Then don't be misled. Endure and wait, because it will come to pass. Some of us are waiting on healing. Some of us are waiting on certain things to happen. You must wait to be led. It's like waiting in a bus stop. You wouldn't want to get ahead of the bus and end up running you over. Now, if you miss the bus, hello, then you got to go around that mountain again. So when you're being led, you're not going to miss. But if you're being misled, you go around the mountain again. He also brought me up out of the what? Horrible pit and out of the what? Miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And he put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear. And will what? Trust in the Lord. So we've got the first one is lack of prayer. The second one is fear and associated emotions. The third one is pride and a haughty spirit. The fourth one is lust and ungodly desires. The fifth one is laziness. The sixth one is cannot wait on the Lord. And the seventh one. Number seven means what? Complete and perfect. The seventh one is reasoning and self-justification will mislead you. In Matthew 16, that's where people get caught up in the butt ministry. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus, come on, read it with me, all right? Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves. What did they do? They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, are you little faith? Why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? That was about their evil doctrines or what they thought. They were imposing things. That means taking heed or being misled. So why do you reason? You know, Eve reasoned with the serpent. You know what happened to her? Right? Reasoning is a guillotine of faith. Cuts faith right off. Reasoning. People try to reason all the time. You know what they're trying to do? Make excuses. That's called self-justification. Yeah, but this is why. Well, they want to blame everybody else. You know, must have been this. I don't know why this isn't. I don't know. They always say, I don't know why. Not willing to take responsibility. Go to Luke 14. Reasoning is the guillotine of faith. Cuts the head right off, doesn't it? Spiritual head. Luke chapter 14. Some people are so caught up in the traditions of men that they constantly reason. They can't walk in the realm of the spirit because they can't be led. They're so caught up in the natural arena. Their whole trust is in what they feel and what they taste and what they touch and what they see. The problem is they don't see anything. Because when you're misled, it brings blindness. And verse 16, would you read it with me? Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Were they trying to be led? Amen. But they all with one accord began to make what? Excuses. Self-justification. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excuse all the things of the world. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said, go to the servant. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. There's a difference between being led and misled. So again, I just want to repeat some of these. When you're being misled, one of the things that causes people to be misled, the number one thing is a lack of prayer. The number two thing is fear and associated emotion. The third thing is pride and haughtiness. The fourth thing is lust and ungodly desires. The fifth thing is laziness. The sixth thing is they can't wait on the Lord, or they can't endure. And the seventh thing is reasoning and self-justification. But ministry. Go to Ecclesiastes 12. And we're going to close here. I told you it was a simple, short teaching. Now you know whether you're being led or misled. It's real simple. Ask somebody. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 13. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Man, some people, let me tell you something. If you don't have reverence to God, you cannot be led. You'll be misled. If you do not have the reverence of the Lord, you can't be led. And if you can't be led, you can't be trusted. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and what? Keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, He's going to expose it. It doesn't matter how much you hallelujah, how much you amen, how much you raise your hand, how much you pray in the Spirit. If you're misled, He will expose you. So get led. Get led, get free, and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And get drunk. Because I'm telling you what, praise God, it's a good night to stay drunk. In the Spirit now. Amen? May the Lord lead us. May the Lord guide us. May the Lord protect us. May the Lord kill us. And establish His kingdom in us and through us for His glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,